Blog Talk Radio.
Austin Dillon, driver of the Dallas Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from the Meteor Center here at Talladega Super Speedway, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big shout-out to track president Grant Lynch and public relations director Russell Branham. It's not too late to purchase your tickets for the Fred's 250 October 18th or the Geico 500 October 19th. To purchase your tickets, call 877-GO-TODEGA or visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. Now let's bring my good friend and co-host on, Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how's everything going up there in Virginia, bud?
Well, it's raining right now, and it's a little chilly.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's humid here, very humid, especially out here at the track. There's a little bit of breeze and everything. But let's get everything started, Stephen, since we don't have our Reverend. Let's go through, and we'll do the I'll do the Lord's Prayer right quick, and then we'll do the National Anthem and everything, and we'll get started. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Stephen, I'll give a little quick rundown of who we got coming on the show for some of the listeners if they hadn't seen everything yet. At 1:15 Eastern time, we got Facility of Operations Assistant Supervisor here at Talladega Super Speedway, Mr. Johnny Hurst. And then live from the Charlotte Motor Speedway at 1 time, we have play-by-play broadcaster for PRN, Mr. Rob Albright. And at 1:45 Eastern time, Talladega Super Speedway Public Relations Director, Mr. Russell Brandon. I talked to him this morning a few times, and he's all in and good and ready. What do you want to start with? You want to start with the nationwide race last night, Stephen, or start about what we got coming up tonight? You got the floor, bud.
Yeah, I think we can start with the nationwide race last night, man. There was a lot of problems last night with those tires coming apart, shredding apart very early on. These tires that they put on the compound that they're using, the same compound that they've used since 2012 there at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and they're going to put the same tires on again tonight in the Sprint Cup race. I think we're going to have a lot of problems again, just like we did last night, where Goodyear did notice that the tires were shredding apart, and they felt like the reason that they were coming apart was a lot due to the fact that the tires were from qualifying, so they already had some wear on them to begin with, and that was just causing the issues that there was. We had a lot of cars out there get damaged last night because of this. Regan Smith early on had an incident very early on, as well as multiple other drivers throughout the night. In the end, I made a comment early on in the night. I said, with the issues that Regan Smith had early on with his tires, they found out that it was just a cut tire. It wasn't actually shredding, but they put him deep back in the field. He restarted about 26, 27 when he got back out there, and I have to give it to him. He did a heck of a job. He battled back all night long, got a decent finish out of it. But Chase Elliott did extend his point lead by about 60-plus points over Regan Smith. He's not exactly totally out of the championship hunt at this point, but he is about two races out. So, if Elliott continues on with his domination that he's had this year within the Nationwide Series, just on top of the point standings, I feel like he's going to be the champion. And one cool statistic out of this is going to be the first time ever that a rookie has won both the Rookie of the Year standing and the Nationwide Championship both at the same exact time. Tonight again, we're gonna put 500 miles on the books tonight. And again, I take a look at the tires. The tires are going to be the biggest issue on the first run there until they get to the first pit stops. I feel we're going to have some cars that will be up in the wall with cut tires, things of that nature, just because of what the Goodyear engineers said from last night's race out there. Jimmy Johnson obviously has already been up in the wall one time. He can start deep in the field in 21st position, I believe it is, tonight. So he's going to have to battle himself back tonight. There's a lot of good drivers in front of him.
Yeah. You covered that to Steven. And, talking about Regan Smith, he did battle back to finish 11th, which can't take nothing away from him. He was digging hard. And what about that kid, Alex Bowman? Did you see he finished 12th?
Yeah, I mean, Alex got put in the 5-car for Junior Motorsports last night. He qualified very well. He was up there at 5th position, I believe it was, when he started the race out, and he was running in the top 10 pretty much all night long. Can't take anything away from him as far as his run last night. He did a heck of a job all night long keeping that car up there, keeping it out of trouble, and hopefully he's got a bright future. Maybe he can get into more nationwide races. I know he's with BK Racing in the Sprint Cup Series, but I feel that maybe Alex Bowman, with a decent ride in the Nationwide Series, can kind of hone his skills a little bit more, and you can't take anything away from him, especially with the run he had last night.
Right. And, Ron Devine is a good friend of ours, too, over at BK Racing, and not saying nothing about the equipment, but I mean, I know they got good equipment over there, but this just a little bit better equipment when he jumped in that Junior Motorsports car, and he showed what he could do. We had him on the show, I don't know, a couple of months ago, I think, and real good, talented young man, polite fella. I think he's got a lot in front of him.
Oh yeah, he does. Unfortunately, I think the biggest issue with BK Racing is that They just don't have the technical alliances as some of the bigger teams do. You could definitely see that last night with the Junior Motorsports car with the Hendrick affiliations. You know, those chassis, those motors, and all the engineering has come out of Hendrick Motorsports. And that kind of makes, you know, that makes a difference these days when teams, you know, they may have good equipment, but and they may have good motors and have good chassis underneath of them, but if you just don't have the engineering aspect, especially with the technical alliance with a bigger organization, then you kind of, you know, you can tell the difference between who's running up front and who's not running up front, and that's by virtue of just those technical alliances. You definitely take a look at, and I'm going to throw this out there, is that, you know, Roush Racing this year, they've been very good in the past, but this year with this new car, they just have not had the speed, they have not had the runs like that they should have and they had in the past. And you take a look at a Penske organization, which is also Ford-backed, they've still got the same power plants that the Roush guys do, but they're running a whole lot better. They've got combined something like 9 wins this season between him and Joey Logano. Logano's got 5 wins. Brad Keselowski's got something like 4 wins. And they've got some power behind them, and they've got that engineering, you know, definitely down to a T. And next year with the Wood Brothers Racing, they're going to move over and put Ryan Blaney in their car from number 21 and for Wood Brothers Racing. So they're going to be getting their chassis and engineering from Penske organization. So I would suspect that even though, you know, Trevor Bayne is a good driver, you know, the 21 team, they've been around a long time. They know how to get things done, win races, things like that. I think you'll see Ryan Blaney run up front a whole lot more next year in those Penske chassis with that technical alliance that they're going to have.
Too, Steven. I think he's going to be another one of your Chase Elliott's coming on up. Now, I'm not comparing him to Chase Elliott, but he's one of them that's coming on up through there. And, you know, you hit on a good note there about the Roush cars. What do you think about the Joe Gibbs cars? I'm sitting here looking at the starting lineup for the 55th running of the Bank of America 500 tonight, and you got Kyle Busch on the pole, and you got Denny Hamlin third. I mean, you know, they've been struggling for speed and everything all year also.
Joe Gibbs Racing, exactly. They've been struggling all year long. They've had some bright moments throughout the year. Kyle Busch has a couple poles this year in the Sprint Cup Series. Obviously, he's dominated in every single race that he's been in the Nationwide Series race. And you know, those chassis, those engines, and that technical knowledge is coming from Joe Gibbs Racing. But on the Sprint Cup side, they just, you know, they have not gotten it down this year. And that's showing this year with Matt Kenseth and Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin. I mean, Denny has run decently this year, but he's had a lot of points throughout the year where issues have happened in the car. He's wrecked out of a couple races, things like that. So they're not on their game again this year either. I think a lot of this is just by virtue of, you know, with all the changes that they made to the car this year, with the Gen 6 car, the changes that they've made, there are teams out there like your Penske organizations that, and obviously even take a look at Stuart Haas Racing, Kevin Harvick, every single weekend, he may not have the 9 wins that a Penske organization does. But you take a look at him at Stuart Haas Racing, where they're getting their chassis, they're getting their engines and their technical alliance from Hendrick Motorsports. Kevin Harvick is running good throughout the entire season. So depending on which team you're with and how well that they've dialed this car in, you're either hot or cold this season.
Yeah, I would definitely agree about that four car. Like you said, that four car has been getting some yonder. I mean, he's been getting it done. But, Stephen, we got our good friend Johnny Hurst, Facility of Operations Assistant Supervisor, and I just seen him a while ago. I'm sure he's out there working. Maybe he won't get in trouble. Let's bring Johnny on to the show and let him tell the fans all about what it takes to get this massive facility ready for race week.
Let's get ready to rumble!
There you go, Johnny Hurst. Where are you located at now?
I'm down over in the maintenance shop right now in one of my offices. I just slipped in here where it'd be a little bit quieter where I could call in.
I heard that. Johnny, thanks again for taking the time out to call. I want to introduce you to my good friend and co-host, Stephen Wilson from Martinville, Virginia. I'm sure he's got some questions for you, Johnny.
Hey, Stephen, good to hear you on here.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a lot of work to get done there before next weekend's race there at Talladega. Mind just starting off telling us a little bit about how long you've been at Talladega and just some of the things that you guys go through in the weeks preparing to get ready for a race like next weekend's chase there at Talladega with the Sprint Cup and the trucks?
Yeah, I've been here close to 14 years and been doing about the same thing as I do now. But normally it takes, it's all year round job. Well, you know yourself, being up in Martinsville, how long it takes them guys to get ready for their event. And, you know, you kind of multiply that however larger hours is than theirs, and you can see about what it takes. But we normally start about 6 weeks out, really, you know, getting the facility in good shape and getting everything cleaned up and shaped up and making it look good for the fans. You know, that's all that's about, it's all the fans anyway, and that's what we want them to have a good experience when they come to Talladega, and plus we want it looking good for them when they come here, where they can ooh and ah, and you know, we like to hear compliments about the facility, the way it looks.
What do you feel is the most, the hardest thing about getting the facility done, either prior to the event or following the event, especially because you guys will be kind of going through a shutdown, no more real huge events like the Sprint Cup Series and Truck Series going to be coming back there after next week. So what's more difficult things that you guys have to go through to get the track facility ready and then get ready to shut it down for the wintertime?
Well, both of them is probably pretty much equal. You know, it takes about as long to get it ready as it does to shut it down. In the well, especially in the winter months, it takes a little bit more because, you know, they have to drain all the water systems and the bathrooms and what have you. But in the spring race, it's kind of tough because then you're bringing everything up from the winter. And, you know, even though you drain all the bathrooms and everything, you're still going to have frozen and busted pipes. And we've got a guy that, you know, pretty much takes care of that. But the irrigation system for the grass and stuff, you know, I pretty much take care of that. So, I have to deal a good bit with that in the springtime. Now, from the summer to the fall race is not too bad, other than just trying to keep everything fertilized and the weeds out of the grass and the grass mowed and, you know, just keep it neat. And because once you let it, you know, we've got 3,000-plus acres that we're trying to maintain. And if you ever get it too far ahead of you, it's hard to catch it back up. But I'd say, you know, as far as which one would be the hardest, both of them is pretty tough.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a ton of stuff to get ready for around there. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim, and I'm sure he's got a couple questions for you.
Okay, good time with you, Steve.
Sure thing.
Yeah, Johnny, I've worked out here, you know, years ago as a teenager when we used to weed eat and everything, and you know, we used to had to paint the walls with a roller, which I know y'all got a sprayer, but there's probably not a lot of people. I know back in the day when we used to bush hog the turns, the banks on the outside, you know, it left that strip in there in the middle that we all had to get up there and weed eat on. You know, it's hard standing up on the side of that thing weed eating, especially when I was 17, 18 years old. And I'm a lot older than that now. I'm not going to tell you my age anyway. But that new toy you got back in the spring, especially for that, would you like to talk about it, your little mowing device you got?
Yes, that thing has saved a lot of man hours. You know, like you said, it back in your day, they would bush hog the bottom part and what they could of the top. And then they kind of got away from that, and I had a crew of guys that would come in just with weed eaters, and they weed eated the whole thing. And it took, you know, 12 hours, 10 people really getting after it. But they've introduced this, what they call a spider mower. And it's a remote control mower that all four wheels turn together. It'll go up and down, left and right, and backwards. And we purchased one of those. And it's taken a lot off. We used to have 10 people back there. We've got two. We've got an operator and somebody to drive his little cart around, because we tether it off just for safety purposes, keep it from accidentally slipping off one of those banks, because even with a tether on some of those banks in the back there, it's pretty tough. But, hey, that's made a world of difference, I'm here to tell you.
I bet it has, Johnny. And I got one of my callers, one of my good callers that calls in all the time, Mr. Todd Bigsby from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen. Do you have time to take a question from Todd?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to bring Todd in into the pit stop.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Todd, how's everything up in upstate New York, bud?
Unlike Stephen, you know, we do have sunshine.
That's good. Hey, Todd, we got Mr. Johnny Hurst, Facilities of Operations Assistant Supervisor here at Talladega Super Speedway, and we've been talking about, you know, what it takes to get this massive facility ready for the upcoming Geico 500 race weekend. Do you have anything you'd like to ask him?
Well, first off, I like to say I got to see that new mower device, and it is amazing. And from everything that I've heard about that facility, you guys do an amazing job.
I appreciate it, Todd. Yeah, that mower is something else. It's fun to watch. We've got a couple of people that's all that's, you know, trained to operate it, and it's, you know, I fly a remote control plane, so I'm kind of, you know, I'm already have a game, and a guy that's one of the guys that's been running, he plays with remote control trucks and cars, so, and that's basically what it is, just a big remote control vehicle that you're running with your fingers. But
now my question would be to you is, what differently do you have to do to get the track ready versus any other track? Or is it pretty much all the same?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's just, you know, all tracks are different. Everybody does their own little thing on you know, how they want the track to look. As far as, well, take, for instance, the what we call a football field. It's the big area in front of the track right in the tri-oval where all the logos are painted. And, you know, a bunch of people, we started, you know, striping it, cutting the grass at different heights. We're not as fortunate as some people is to have a smaller area to take care of, and it's a lot easier to maintain and to put it, you know, the stripes and what have you in. So we have to do a lot of it manually, and we have to put some get a little help for some green fertilizer to make it green and make it pretty. But, you know, Daytona, you know, they've got a different type of grass down there, and it's, you know, it stays green year round. Where here in Alabama, most especially in the hot summertime, if you don't keep it fertilized and watered, it's kind of brown out. So we have to help that along a little bit. But the other facilities I've worked at or been at too, you know, some of them's got asphalt in their, what we call the football field. If they got asphalt there, and they can paint the logos on the asphalt and just change it out every year. But ours is just red clay and Bermuda grass, and it's hard red clay, what I'm talking about. So it's hard to keep that grass growing. So,
well, I appreciate you taking the time and, you know, answering your questions for me.
Hey, it's good talking with you, Todd, and I hope I get to visit that Watkins Glen track. I've not been up there to that one, but a couple of guys that runs the Jets around here, they come up every year.
Yeah, they were up this year, and I did get some pictures of them on the track.
Yeah, I think they look forward to it up there. Ernie Thurston used to come down here a lot, and, you know, he was from Watkins Glen. We used to hang out a good bit. He's a good guy, or was a good guy. Hated to hear about him, but maybe one day we get up there and visit y'all.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It sure was good talking to you, Todd.
What's that?
I said, it's good talking with you, Todd. Hope you get to come to Talladega soon. Come on down here and visit us.
Oh, trust me, I've been working on a way of doing it.
That's good. Yeah, Johnny, thanks again. I know you got a very busy schedule with all this stuff you got going on around here trying to get everything ready. But thank you again, Johnny, for taking time out to come on and talk to us and sort of explain how everything goes out here. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of listeners did not understand that. And y'all be safe. And if I don't see you before I leave here at the media center, I'll see you Friday.
Hey, appreciate it, Tim. It's good being on there. And we look forward to seeing all them fans that's listening maybe to come on down and visit us at Talladega.
Yes, sir, we do. Have a good one, Johnny.
You too.
All right. All right, y'all. That was my good friend, Johnny Hurst. He's a super guy. Once you meet him, I'm going to tell you, he's a big old joker, too, now. You don't want to make him mad. He's a healthy fella, if you know what I mean. But, Stephen, Tyler, I think we got Suzanne's got somebody on the line. I think it's Rob Albright from PRN. He's live at Charlotte. But anyway, Todd, what do you think about the race tonight? Who do you think's going to win?
Well, you know, Kyle's been up there, you know. We have the Gibbs cars up there, so I'm hoping to see Denny pull something out.
And, you know, we were talking about the Gibbs cars earlier. But, Todd, we've got live from Charlotte Motor Speedway, play-by-play broadcaster for PRN, Mr. Rob Albright. Let's bring Rob into the pit stop, Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Mr. Albright, how's everything up there in Charlotte?
Well, at the moment, it's sunny and hot, but Mother Nature is threatening us right now, saying from about 5 till 9, we can expect some heavy thunderstorms. So we had the same forecast for last night, and it slid by us on the north, about 30 miles north of the track, and we're praying for the same thing tonight. But if we get the race going and there's a chance that it could be rain-shortened, it could really wreak havoc with some of these guys' strategies, I think.
Yeah. And last night I had it on TV, watching the TV, and had my laptop, and I was listening to y'all on the PRN.com, and y'all do a great job, just like MRN does too, bud. We want to appreciate everything that y'all do for the sport. We sure do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate it, and I'll tell you, I've done TV broadcasting of the ASA races back in the early days, and I've done a lot of PA work, but what I enjoy most, I think, about radio broadcasting is two things. Number one, we've got hardcore fans listening to us on the radio. They appreciate good information. And then number two is, unlike TV or unlike the fans who sit in the stands, those who are listening on the radio, we've got to paint that word picture for them and create that picture in their mind of exactly what we're watching happen on the racetrack. You know, think about it, like last night's race, 300 miles, 200 laps. What I really am saying is turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left. But people would get bored pretty quickly if that's all we said. So we got to figure out, you know, 150 different ways to say the same thing and enable people to actually get a picture in their mind of what's going on the racetrack.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, Rob, I'm going to hand you over to my good friend Stephen Wilson. He's in Martinsville, Virginia. He's my good friend and co-host here. And we're live from the media center here at Talladega Super Speedway, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. Stephen, you got the floor, Mr. Rob Albright, bud.
Hey, Rob. Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. As we all know with you, not only in any medium that we cover the sport in, is that social media is so prevalent these days that it's such instantaneous access into what is going on, and not necessarily that no matter the TV or radio is able to sometimes keep the instantaneous access that you would see on Facebook and Twitter. How do you guys curtail that as far as the way that you're going to broadcast a race, knowing that there may be a 15 or 20-second lead time into what somebody may be seeing on Twitter or Facebook or some other medium out there?
That's a great question. We have been instructed, those of us who are on air, that we don't tweet, we don't send Facebook messages, we don't do social media while we're live and on the air. That having been said, since there are two guys in the booth, and just so your listeners understand, if they don't know how this play-by-play piece works for radio, is on a track like Charlotte Motor Speedway, we have three broadcast positions. So we have two guys in the booth, or like last night we had Doug Rice, who is our normal anchor, along with Wendy Venturini. Tonight it'll be Mark and Doug back in the booth together, and Wendy will be on pit road. But they're in the booth, and they drop the call to me approximately as the cars are entering turn one. And they just stop talking, and I pick up the call, and I take them through one and two, and then about halfway down the backstretch, and then I drop the call, and Pat Patterson picks them up. So we have to be focused not only who's leading the race and not only watching our third, if you will, of the racetrack, but so that we can keep things in context, we need to be watching the entire racetrack. So unless it's a caution flag and we know it's going to be a lengthy one and then we're still busy, but during the caution flags, that's about the only time. But we do have somebody in the booth that keeps track of the tweets that are out there in the Twitter sphere, whether they're coming from the folks sitting in the media center, who may be monitoring something on a channel, you know, radio frequency that we're not listening to. So we do get some information that way, and then, of course, a lot of the things that we say on the air also in reverse end up, you know, being tweeted and retweeted out there. Well, that's a great question. Did I answer it?
Yeah, you did good. You did
I gave
good,
you a long
buddy.
Answer to a simple question.
Oh, no, that's okay. You know, the fans, you know, a lot of times when they listen to you on the radio, they don't always understand, as you said, how it exactly works. And I just wanted to kind of touch just a little bit more on to that. Can you just kind of go through kind of a normal play-by-play on what it would take to when you guys run around the racetrack? I know, obviously, you guys aren't talking to the entire lap, but can you kind of give them a kind of play-by-play on how it dropped, the calls are dropped off, and how the producer kind of ties you guys in together, and what your kind of timing is as far as that's concerned.
And that's funny. I get asked that all the time. And the first time Doug Rice called me up and said, hey, I've always appreciated the work that you do on TV and the work you've done on PA. Have you ever done live play-by-play for radio? And I said, no. And he said, well, I'd like to give it a shot. But he said, it is so different. I've got to tell you, the first time I did it, I didn't even know how it worked. And the truth of the matter is, it's chemistry. I used to think, well, maybe they've got like lights and buttons, and you know, they know when one stops and the other starts. There's none of that. When we go to a track for the first time, and obviously we haven't been any place new in a long time, but I go up to where my broadcast position will be. Sometimes it's on the roof above the suites, like it is at Bristol. Sometimes it's on a billboard like it is in Las Vegas. And in Atlanta, I just have to stand up there on the row where all the RVs are, the high-end RVs, and lean up against the fence with a bunch of race fans, and that's where I broadcast from. So what I can actually see is different at different racetracks. I got a great vantage point at Charlotte. I'm about 50 feet above the racetrack, and I can see the cars as they exit the second dogleg on the front stretch, all the way through turns one and two, and until they get almost to where the giant screen TV is along the back straightaway. But Doug and Mark, whichever one is making the live call when we're in a play-by-play run, they will simply say, and Jimmy Johnson leads Jeff Gordon into turn one, and they just stop talking. And the way they make those drops is different each time, but we just, over the years, and this is my 18th year of working with the broadcast crew, so we've developed a chemistry where there's just kind of a feel. Now, Wendy Venturini, she's great on TV and has a lot of television experience, has had very limited radio experience. So it's been kind of an interesting experiment working with Wendy. Not that she's not a talented broadcaster, she is, but she's finding play-by-play for radio is so different. Plus the fact that dead air is death, as you guys know, in radio. I mean, you can't stop mm-hmm. talking, and you almost can't over talk in terms of your volume and your inflection. Now, you don't want to wear people out by screaming, but if we kept the same energy level on radio that they have on TV, people would be bored to sleep. If the people, conversely, on TV kept the same high level of intensity in their tone of voice and the speed and pacing of their words that we do on radio, they would wear people out. So it's just a very different, you know, it's a very different thing. We do have a producer, and we can go to her. Now, usually we're hot all the time when we're live. What that means is if I hit my push to talk button everybody in the stands that's got a radio and everybody who's sitting at home listening on the radio or that's streaming us live on our website, they're going to hear what I say. So I have to hold my comments if I have an observation or I want to say, hey, I saw so-and-so do such-and-such, you might want to have Brett McMillan go to his pit stall and get an update, you know, get some information. So we're doing more in the turns than just play-by-play. We're trying to watch for other things that we think might be of interest to the race fans. And the other thing that we do, I think, and hopefully your radio listeners appreciate this when they listen to us or they listen to the guys on MRN, is that we try to go on the racetrack where the racing battles are. And if that means, you know, we may say, and you'll hear us say sometimes, Brad Keselowski continues to build on his 4.5-second lead. Meanwhile, half straightaway back, we've got a great three-car fight for the seventh position between so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. So we're always trying to find where the good racing is on the racetrack. And there's about all the time, even if somebody's building a big lead at a given stretch, and as we all know, that can happen sometimes, typically everywhere except Talladega, and they stay in a pack pretty much all day. And I wish we got a shot to broadcast that. And I do want to share that with you. People say, well, who broadcasts which races? There are two radio networks, PRN and MRN. PRN is Performance Racing Network. MRN is Motor Racing Network. MRN, the network, is owned by ISC, International Speedway Corporation, which owns NASCAR. PRN is owned by SMI, Speedway Motorsports, Inc. So we do the broadcasts at the SMI tracks, which are Charlotte, Atlanta, Texas, Sonoma, Bristol, Las Vegas, Kentucky, and New Hampshire. And then MRN does the other races. So we don't compete. We have a great relationship with those guys. We encourage them. We listen to them. We learn from them. And they tell us they do the same when they listen to our broadcasts.
Yeah. And you just kind of touched a little bit on the MRN, PRN deal as far as that's concerned. You know, there always is a lot of confusion every week in and week out as to whose track is, who's doing this, who's doing that, who's got the radio broadcast this week. And not everybody always realizes it's an IFC track and it's in my track, or whether it's somebody like Pocono or Dover, MRN would be on the radio. But kind of talking a little bit about what kind of relationship do you guys have together with one another, considering that you guys are dropping races back and forth between one another. I know that you listed in, but is there any kind of like off and on kind of conversations between you guys sharing information on what went on with one race and you moving into another race, kind of like an information sharing session with you guys?
That's a great question. Not formally, informally, yes. And there are always PRN guys at the MRN tracks, at the MRN races, doing different things, recording sound bites from drivers and so forth, and vice versa. And at the beginning of the weekend, like this weekend, Thursday night, of course, was our pole qualifying, and Thursday afternoon, NASCAR always hosts at their media trailer that's in the garage area a radio meeting. And in that radio meeting, they usually have Robin Pemberton, who's director of competition, somebody from the public relations department, somebody from the rules and regulations to tell us if there's been any rule changes this week. And we all crowd into this little trailer. You know, it's a 40-foot trailer, and it's only half used for our meetings. But we'll have 15 to 20 people in that room. And certainly at the races that MRN is broadcasting, more of their people will be there. The races that we're broadcasting, more of our folks will be there. And there's some folks on our broadcast crew, just as they're on MRN, who actually work for the network full time. There are others of us, like myself, probably half of our broadcast crew. I own a business. I run a business during the week, and because I'm just passionate about racing, and they keep asking me to come back every year to do these radio broadcasts. I'm a weekend warrior as a radio broadcaster. The weekends that I'm not at the track, I read voraciously everything that I can, you know, that I can get my hands on about the sport. I make sure that I'm up to date on the, you know, any driver changes, crew changes, rule changes, things that happened at the previous race or the last ones that we didn't broadcast, so that we're never too far out of sync. And I always record them on my DVR, and I go back and watch the races that I'm not at. And speaking of recording, and I don't know if MRN does this, I assume they do, But by we race tonight. By probably noon tomorrow, I will have in my inbox, in my email, a broadcast of a recording of last night's Nationwide race and of tonight's Sprint Cup race. And it's kind of mandatory that we listen back to the broadcasts for things that we need to improve on, things that we, you know, anything that we missed, things that we can do better. And like I said, I've been at this for 18 years with PRN, but we have a meeting before every race, and we say, what can we do better? What can we do better? We're constantly, because we're big race fans, like everybody who listens to us, and we're always interested in fan feedback. Gee, I wish you guys gave more rundowns, or I wish you did more of this, or we wish you did less of that. There's some things that we're obligated to do because of our sponsors, but for the most part, if we make changes in the way our broadcasts are structured, more often than not, it's been motivated by fans who have written in or texted, tweeted, called in, and said, hey, you know, we wish you'd do more of this. And then we talk about it and we try to implement those things that the fans want.
And my final question I'm going to have for you tonight is, I think there's always a lot of confusion, and as any NASCAR fan will know, and I just kind of alluded to that on my previous question a little bit, but on weekends where the Truck Series runs at SMI properties around the country, it's always hard. People always have to ask the same question. Why is PRN not broadcasting the Truck Series race at a track that they own? Why is it NASCAR and MRN that are doing so? Any particular reason as to why PRN has not chosen to pick up the Truck Series races at their properties?
When the Truck Series was formed, the radio contract was structured totally differently, in that my understanding is, and I could be wrong, but my understanding of the way this was determined was that it was decided that the Truck Series would, all the races would be under one negotiated contract. And under those circumstances, PRN chose not to bid on the contract because PRN really had no interest to cover races at other than SMI-owned racetracks. So that's a good question. The other question that we get asked a lot is, why does MRN always cover the All-Star race? You know, it's right here in our backyard in Charlotte, and why do we not cover the All-Star race in May when we cover the Nationwide race and the Sprint Cup race? And that's a very simple answer, too, because when the All-Star race first started, it was really a property of R.J. Reynolds. They're the ones that owned the property. And the initial plan was that every year the All-Star race would be held at a different racetrack. And what ended up happening is the first year was at Charlotte, the second year it was Atlanta, and then it was simply decided that, you know what, Charlotte is kind of the headquarters of most of the race teams and so forth, so let's just make the All-Star race there every year. And when that initial contract was negotiated, it was actually negotiated through R.J. Reynolds, and they have a rolling renewal on the contract. So until and unless MRN decides not to renew their rolling renewal, they will always have the broadcast rights for the All-Star race. So great questions, both. I know our time's back up. We didn't even get a chance to talk about tonight's race, but I know the folks that are listening to your broadcast here this afternoon kind of want to know what to expect. And if they didn't watch last night's Nationwide Series race, a couple of the guys had tire issues. All the practices have taken place in the heat of the day, so the cars kind of slide around, and it's been, as you know, probably in Talladega, it's been pretty warm this week. It's been very warm here. Now, when the sun went down last night, the grip increased dramatically, and as a result, I think guys that maybe started the runs with too low air pressure or they were overly aggressive on their camber settings, their chassis settings, there were some tire problems. So there are a lot of people that are speculating tire problems could have a huge impact on the outcome of the race tonight. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that, as well as the fact that the drivers, you know, Casey Kane, Brad Keselowski, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Jimmy Johnson all had significant problems in last week's race. So those four guys especially really want to win tonight. We all know that Talladega is a, you know, it's such a wild card for everybody. With the pack racing that goes on there, you simply can never control how you run in that race in terms of what the outcome will be, or you might be caught up in the proverbial big one. And so tonight ought to be really exciting because I think everybody that is not already locked in, and that's 11 out of the 12 drivers are not locked in to the next round, only Joey Logano by virtue of his win last week. So you're going to see Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Brad Keselowski, Casey Kane, and all of them just really going after it tonight. And if it's any chance of it being rain shortened, this thing could be a wild one. So listen on the radio, turn your TV on, turn the sound down, and listen to us on the radio. And if you don't have a local radio station that you can get it clearly on, you can always go to goprn.com and stream it live.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think I'm going to have to agree with you on that one with the tire issues. They're running the same compound since 2012 and the same compound that was run last night. And Goodyear engineers, they actually did come back, and they did talk a little bit about it on social media as well as we had actually emailed them to find out what was going on. And you hit the nail right on the head. These guys are a little bit over-aggressive in their setups with too low air pressures, and I feel that we might even – in the very early runs, we only saw it in the very early runs last night. I think exactly we're going to see the same thing, and it's going to be a potential of putting some of these guys into the wall or having issues that really need to contend for that win very early on in the race. And then you throw in the weather that is threatening you guys around the area tonight, that's going to throw a whole new monkey wrench into the whole issue. But I appreciate you taking the time out to come on our show today. Good luck tonight in the broadcast. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim.
Okay, thank you, Stephen.
Hey, Rob, Stephen, I could listen to y'all talk about that all night long. I mean, I really liked that conversation of how y'all put it in perspective, which I had sort of some ideas. But anyway, I had a few questions, Rob, but I know you're very busy, but I want to ask one favor, and I'm not going to call this gentleman's name. I'm going to call his area code. This gentleman knows you, been knowing you for a long time, and he just wanted to come on and say hello. So I'm going to bring this gentleman on and see if
okay.
You can tell who it is, Rob.
All right.
Hi. Am I
hey.
Live?
Hey.
I'm Mr.
You're
Rob Albright. All I want to say is I'm not trying to get a hold of Tito or Ralph Shaheen, the best announcer from when I was a child. Now is Rob Albright. I've followed him my whole life. He led me to God. He's a good man and the best at what he does. He's helped drivers after ASA, like Johnny Benson, and done work with them and stuff. And I just want Stephen Wilson and Tim Despain and Suzanne Despain, the people at the pit stop. This is not my night for doing my radio show. But anytime you have an icon like Rob Albright on the radio, I had to call in and say hello to the man, bless him, and thank him for everything he's given me throughout life.
Wow.
Do you know who that is, Rob?
I don't, and I am just blown away. I'm rarely at a loss for words, but right now I'm at a loss for words that somebody would say that. So...
Well, Rob,
okay, you
right.
Tell
actually,
me who...
you know, all I can tell you is I've won my chair races. I've done a lot after I left ASA, but Tony Baginski has never forgotten Rob Albright.
Oh, Tony. I should have known.
And,
I should have known.
And,
you made my day. Can I just say that? You've made my year.
Well, you know, Rob, we go way back. We were with ASA all those years. And, you know, I miss, you know, God rest Becky. And Rex is still with us. He just had a birthday. But, you know, we graduated a lot of people to NASCAR, and we have been within the best of motorsports our whole lives. And I've been fortunate to move on and do great things, and so are you. And I've never forgotten you. I never forgotten your touch with Jesus, and I always wanted to be like you. And I am today, and God bless you. You're a good man, and what you do is fabulous and great. And I had to tell you, and thanks for spending time and talking so well with Stephen Wilson and Tim, and maybe you can come on my radio show that I do with them on a Tuesday night sometime.
You know what? All you got to do is ask. I love doing these things. I now have a boatload of grandchildren, but as long as I can talk fast and remember drivers' names and numbers, which gets harder all the time, but as long as
right.
I can do that, that's one of the beautiful things about radio. I can keep doing this, hopefully, for maybe a few more years. And for me, it's always been about the people. It's always been about the relationships. Yes, I love the racing, but
yes.
there's a fraternity of people who are passionate about motorsports. And it does go back, you know, whether if you grew up in the South, you went to short tracks down in the South, and you probably followed all pro drivers. A lot of them made their way to NASCAR. If you're in the Midwest, it was ASA, and a lot of them made their way to NASCAR.
Absolutely.
I'm 100% with you. I have a ball doing these NASCAR broadcasts, but I will always say that my most wonderful times in racing around the tightest-knit group of people, a big family, were my years with the ASA Racing Series. I will always say that. And I'm sure people around the country, whether it's a local short track or it's a regional series, those tight-knit relationships, that's what it's all about, and that's where it's the most fun. So listen,
that's
I need
fantastic.
To go.
Okay, Rob.
I got some work to do, but I've enjoyed this. And Tony, wow, man, you've just made my heart jump out of my chest. Thank you, and thanks Tim and Stephen for having me on. You guys know how to get a hold of me. I'd love to do this
yes,
again
sir.
And don't have to wait a long time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Albright.
All righty. Thank you. Take care, everybody, and God bless.
Goodbye.
God
bro.
Bless. Y'all be
God
safe
bless
tonight,
you.
Bud.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a real interesting long conversation. I mean, I could sit there and listen to Stephen and Rob for hours and hours. Did you listen in on some of it, Tony B?
I listened to every bit of it, and I must say, I have got so much thanks to give to Stephen. He asked some of the most incredible, best questions that I wish I could think that fast. He got great answers, and the fans and the listeners learned a lot. And, Stephen, you did a great job.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. And you know what? You know, the questions that I ask are more geared to just things that I'm as a race fan, and everybody in the sport, no matter what you do, and it has to be a race fan to follow it week in and week out. And you know, obviously some of these questions I have to ask some of our guests, you know, some of them I really don't know the answer to, and I've always wanted to know the answer, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one. So I just kind of, you know, I kind of think a little quick on my feet and think of things that I would like to know as a race fan, and especially some of the people that sit at home and listen to these guys week in and week out and what they do week in and week out. I have to try to cover the sport, and I appreciate it, you know. Man, I tell you what, that's pretty cool that you came on the show today. And how are you doing in fantasy racing anyways? I haven't checked mine in a couple of days.
Well, I will say this. I did drop from number one to number two, but I'm only 16 points out, and I am really looking good tonight. But you are catching me, and when we go out of the playoff series and you get all your points back, at least I can say I knew what it was like to be first before I was last. Because you guys have done so good all year. But you know, I'm really doing well in the playoffs, but the rest of the season, I've used a lot of my guys, and, you know, the bottom line is I could run a car and finish better and get the same amount of points because I've used all the good drivers.
Unfortunately, I'm the same way. There's been some drivers in there that I've used up already. And some drivers that I hadn't, and I haven't done so well through the second part of the season. The only reason I didn't do so well is because I was holding some of those drivers back for the playoffs because I knew they were going to be in it, and I couldn't waste them out too quick in the season.
Yeah, and you know, Tony and y'all, some of my drivers I forget to pick, and I'd end up losing all my starts on them. But anyway, I hate to break in. We've got Russell Branham, Public Relations Director here at Talladega Super Speedway, and he's very, very busy, so I'm going to bring him on and get him on where he can do his thing and get back to work. So
let's get ready to rumble!
Russell, how you doing this evening, bud? You're in the pit stop. Tim is finding Stephen Wilson live from the media center at Talladega Super Speedway.
I'm doing fantastic, Tim. Good to see you earlier today. Hope everything is well in our media center. Glad that you're here with us.
Thank you very much. Everything is perfect. You know, thank you again for allowing us to do this. We really appreciate it. And I don't know if you've met my good friend Stephen Wilson. I'm sure he's got some questions. We had Johnny Hurst on earlier, Rob Albright, and we've just had a really great show. But thanks again for having us. And I'm going to hand you over to Stephen, and just whenever you need to go, bud, we'll let you go.
No problem, man. Glad to be on with you. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Russell. How you doing today?
Man, we're doing fantastic. Everyone around here at Talladega is just really fired up. It's we've got a lot of momentum, you know, going into this race weekend, and it really started really when the chase began. You know, everyone already started pointing to the Talladega race, the last race of the contender round. So the great thing is we've had a lot of positive publicity, a lot of energizing comments, and people just really anxious to see what's going to happen here at Talladega. And, you know, I was with Jimmy Johnson earlier this week, and, you know, one of the things that he said was, you know, this race has always been a wild card, but it's going to be times 10 this time with all the added pressures and everything that the drivers are going to be feeling, because, you know, they know some of those guys that are down at the bottom, they know that they've got to win this race in order to advance. So it will be interesting to see how things go down at Charlotte today. And so then we'll have a much better idea of where people, you know, where they're placed at in the points, and just sort of knowing what their strategy will be. But I tell you, really, I don't know if there's anyone except for the guys that are going to be – that have won a race are going to be completely safe, you know, as far as making it to the next round whenever they come here.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, with the wild card that you guys got going on, they said a lot earlier in the season where they said that Dover was going to be the new Richmond, especially with the new first cutoff series that they were going to have in this new playoff series. Well, now you guys are getting into a wild card event where obviously anybody can win down there. You take a look at David Reagan, who won down there just not too long ago. I mean, that was just an oddity. But then again, it's not really an oddity for a track like you guys. There's 43 drivers out there. Anybody can win there. Absolutely, and especially some drivers that have not run competitively very well, especially take a look at Jimmy Johnson, historically has not been able to run very well there at Talladega and been hung up in some of those big wrecks down there. But just one of my first questions that I have for you is that you guys do a lot of community outreach as far as leading up to the events there at Talladega, whether it's a chase race or not. How do you kind of choose and pick some of the outreach programs that you try and go out into the community to build up the event and get people out there to the track to see a live event?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of different things with, you know, military is definitely a focus of ours. We do a lot of different partnerships with military. Of course, we have a lot of military bases and stuff here in the state of Alabama and in Georgia, Mississippi, et cetera. We really try to partner with them to do some different things. We have a lot of special military promotional ticket offers. We actually had Greg Biffle. We went to Maxwell Air Force Base just, what, 2 weeks ago, and talking about you know, about the race there, and also talking to the military to let them know a little bit more about what we've got here. And from a military standpoint, you know, we do a lot of different things there as well just here on race weekend. You know, we're going to have a 32-piece band from the military that will be here playing the national anthem on Sunday. We've got a cool flyover this time, too. We're also going to have some paratroopers coming down as well. So we got a lot of cool things on that end, just from a military standpoint. And from a children's standpoint, I feel like we've got one of the best deals that there is in sports. We you know, we have children 12 and under can get in free here if they want to come in with their folks. You can actually buy a 2-day ticket here, two adults and two kids under 12 for $100. So we do that, and if you want to go up into the tower, we do a $50 off package deal for a 2-day ticket here for children, you know, 12 and under. So we really try to do things like that. You know, we've done a lot of things with the Red Cross. We had here last month the Red Cross here, where we were giving track rides. If you came and you gave blood, we gave you a track ride in the pace car, you know, at a high rate of speed. So we really try to do we try to do as much as we can in the community, locally, within the state, et cetera. That's something that is always on our mind, to try to do things that we can do to help. And, you know, at the end of the day, too, we want to get people, you know, more excited about what we're doing here. You know, we got to look out for the race fan that's going to be here 5 years, 10 years away. We do a lot of things with college students. We offer a great college ticket program. That was one of the things we had Jimmy Johnson in Birmingham for this past Wednesday. We had him on the campus of UAB. We had him talking to business school students. We had him talking to students. We had about 750 kids that were out at they had gurney races down the streets of Birmingham. They had the roads closed off, and it gave us a platform to get Jimmy out there to talk about our $19 college ticket program. So we're really trying to look at, you know, things from our military, things from our young people, whether it be college students, whether it be younger kids. You know, just trying to look out for that fan base to grow as people get older, too, and come out and enjoy some races here at Talladega.
And my second question I got is, hey, kind of explain a little bit. You guys are the only track that I know about that actually offers free camping on property during the weekend. How did that kind of come about with that, especially taking a look at other tracks that obviously charge to camp on weekends at the track? Do you feel that was more of a fan outreach to be able to get people out there to the event, kind of make it more a little bit economical for them to come and see live events on the weekend? Or was kind of the line of thinking about just bringing in a whole free camping experience on property?
Well, listen, we're the biggest racetrack on the circuit. We've got the most property of any racetrack on the circuit, over 3,000 acres. You know, Talladega is, you know, we're about 45 miles away from Birmingham. We're about 90 miles away from Atlanta. So for some folks that may not want to come and, you know, they don't want to stay in a hotel, this gives them the opportunity to come here and stay in various areas on the racetrack, stay for free. You know, we do have some of our reserve camping in the infield. We also have, you know, as far as that goes, the reserve camping in the infield, there is a payment, you know, structure for that. But we have a lot of property, the unreserved outside of the racetrack. We've got so much acreage here, then why not offer that to our fans? So we want fans to come here. You know, they're going to come buy a ticket. They're going to come and spend their hard-earned money to come see our events. We just wanted to give them the opportunity that, hey, yeah, we can come, we can buy a ticket at a very good price, and, oh, by the way, we can stay for free. So it's hopefully it's something that is an enticement to our fans. They see that we care. You know, we want them to come and have a great time, and we don't want to break the bank in order for them to come either. So, you know, it's just something that we instituted a while back, and it's worked well for us.
Well, but I appreciate you taking the time out. I know that you're very busy. You guys got a huge event coming up next weekend there at Talladega. A lot to get ready. And I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. I'm sure he's got a couple questions for you. Thanks a lot, bud.
Absolutely, man.
Hey, Russell, thanks again for taking time out. Just a couple little things I wanted to throw out there. Last year, you know, I downloaded the mobile app, you know, the Talladega Super Speedway mobile app. That's another thing that y'all offer. It's got the maps, schedules, posts. I mean, just all kind of stuff on there. That's another thing where fans can see what's going on, where, what time, and that. And also, next Saturday night, y'all have more than one person in concert. Am I correct?
That's right. Thomas Redd is going to be our headliner as far as the concert goes, a country music artist. And also, we're going to have Logan Mize, who's another young up-and-comer. And we really feel very excited about having him here as well. So, you know, there's always another aspect to everything that goes on here at Talladega. The racing is by far the best that there is on the circuit. You know, we're the most competitive track. We have the record for most lead changes. We have the record for the closest finishes here as well. So 3 and 4 wide racing at 200 miles per hour, that's pretty cool. For the fans that are in the stands, again, I said this is the biggest racetrack. We also have tremendously large video boards that will be in place again, and they're actually going to be bigger than we had in the spring. So we've got video boards that line the front straightaway. So if you're in the grandstand All you have to do is look forward. You can see everything that's happening, the same thing that you might see at home on the video screen. We've got that for you as well. So, but from a fan standpoint of the other things here that Talladega has to offer, you know, we're the party capital of NASCAR. The big one on the boulevard is going to be our event on Friday night. It's a Mardi Grosdike parade that we're going to have some of the drivers that will be participating. Kyle Larson has decided he's going to be a part of it on Friday night. Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick, Ricky Stenhouse, and Austin Dillon. Those guys will be they'll ride on a float in the parade, and then at the end we're going to have a fan competition, which is really cool. We're going to have a costume contest for bringing Talladega back since we're so close to Halloween, and we'll do that to kick everything off, and then we're going to have a Jello crawl, which is sort of a military-style type crawl through about 1,100 gallons of Jello, orange Jello, I might add, and then we'll finish up to Dega dancing, the Dega dance-off, where we'll have it's going to be an elimination type thing, and then the final four will do a dance-off to songs that have to do with food, and when they're singing and dancing rather. They'll have that particular food poured over them while they're doing it. So it was we kicked everything off in the spring with our first big one, and it was fantastic. So we're going to do the same type thing this time. And, of course, Thomas Rhett and Logan Mize. And I didn't mention also that DJ Silver, which is a very popular remixer of music, he'll be there both Friday night and Saturday night as well. So we got a lot of good things going on, a lot of fun for the fans when race cars aren't on the racetrack.
Yeah, and Russell, I don't see how in the world you keep up with all this. But my final question, and I'll let you go. Me and you talked about earlier, you know, this is coming into the Geico 500 Sunday. This is the final race in the eliminator round going into the contender round the following week at Martinsville, which myself and Suzanne and Stephen and his wife, we will be there at that race also. Do you think it's going to mean, well, like Bob Albright said earlier, you wasn't on to hear him. He said he thinks it's going to need to wait to see what happens tonight at Charlotte to see just how what you have to do here. And you know as well as I do, just like Steven said, any of the 43 drivers can win. But do you think it's going to be a more exciting race, Steven, than with it not being in the chase?
I think the stars have lined up where it's going to be probably could be the best race we've ever had here. And if you look right now where the points are, you got Jimmy and Earnhardt Jr. and Keselowski at the bottom. Between those three guys, have 9 wins here at this racetrack. If you go to Jeff Gordon, who is in the transfer spot right now, add him to the mix, that's a total of 15 victories between those four drivers. So those four drivers know how to get around this place. Depending on where they are in the points, just say they come in and they make it, they're mid-pack as far as the points go. How do you play it safe here? You know, whenever you're running a pack of 40 cars, you know what I'm saying? The strategy, if I'm at the very top, I'm a non-winner. Just say tonight, say if Matt Kenseth won the race. So now you got Logano would be safe, and if Kenseth were to win, he would be safe. The rest of the guys, it's a free-for-all. So if I'm the top guy in the points that hadn't won, my strategy naturally will be a lot different. If I feel like I'm pretty much safe, if I just stay out of trouble here, the strategy is going to be a lot different. But for the guys that are, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, I don't know how any of those guys can play it safe. So I think you're going to see a tremendous effort to get to the front. I mean, it's like Jimmy Johnson said. His goal is to go up front, stay up front, and win the race. And that might have to be his plan for sure after he had a wreck yesterday. So it's going to be interesting to see. You've got all these guys that are favorites for the championship who had trouble last week, and they all could be coming here. I mean, there could be – I mean, could you imagine if Johnson, Earnhardt, and Keselowski come here and they've got to win the race? Can you imagine the fierce battle that we're going to see?
I know it. And could you imagine, too, Russell, if something happens tonight and then you come here next weekend and you're in the big one? I mean, you know, you could see, like you just said, some top-notch drivers that were expected to win the Sprint Cup Championship this year might not make it.
You're right. You know, and but
yeah, I know.
Yeah, and that's, you know, so Talladega just got to be a real thinking man's racetrack, and for most of them, the thought process is going to be, we've got to be up front, we got to win to make it. So it puts a completely different. But I will say this, you know, Jimmy Johnson brought this up the other day. If you look back last year, Dale Earnhardt Jr. had one bad race in the Chase, and it was the first race at Chicago. He blew an engine, and he never recovered from it. So if you have – the way the points are now, the way the system is now, if you have a bad problem like Jimmy Johnson had, guess what? He's still got a shot. He's not out of it. He could have a great run tonight, put himself back into the mix, and come here and have another great shot of making it. And then they go to the next round and they're on even ground again. So there's a lot of positives, too, of this format. And even if a guy has two bad runs, just say Johnson has a terrible run tonight, he would be at the championship anyway if it were like it had been in the past, because he had two bad finishes. But guess what? He can come here and he can win and he can make it. And he's right back in the mix. So a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure. And this is Talladega, baby.
Yes, sir, it is. And, you know, Russell, I definitely agree. I love this new format that NASCAR come out with. And I know you got to go because you got a lot going on. And thank you very much for letting us use this very nice media center here at Talladega Super Speedway. And you want me to lock a door on my way out or just cut the lights off?
You just call me and let me know when you're leaving. I'll come lock her up, bud. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Russell,
right,
I got one
you,
quick question for you.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, so we're doing it next Tuesday night. We're doing a normal show. I know this is kind of a little bit off from what we normally do with this special today. You mind if you get with Tim and see if you can get the tire guy to come on Tuesday night? Man, he's a character down there. Everybody knows him. But I'd like to have a chance to get him on the radio show maybe Tuesday night if he's got time, talk to him for a couple minutes and, you know, just how he came up with the whole tire guy thing walking around the infield there at Talladega.
Yeah, you know what? I'll send him a note and see what he's up to on Tuesday night. He's a good guy. He's a, you know, he started something and it's turned into something really cool. We're actually going to utilize him doing some stuff for us on the big one on the Boulevard too on Friday night. So they're good folks over there. But yeah, I'll reach out to him and see.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, bud. Appreciate your time coming on the show. I know you got a lot of stuff to get going, and yeah, have Tim just turn the lights out and lock the door for you so you don't have to come back across that massive facility.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, thanks, Russell. We'll give you a holler here in a little bit once we get packed up.
Okay, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bud. Bye-bye. Well, y'all, we had some real good conversations today, didn't we, Steve? I mean, golly, we could keep going and going and going. But I know you got a football game to go watch. Myself and Suzanne does, too. And Todd, I hate to keep Todd on mute, but Todd says as long as he gets to ask the question, just put him back. He wants to listen. But anyway, I'm going to sign off with a song. Steven, thanks for everything. And Todd and all the guests. I mean, it was just a super show. And thanks to Talladega Super Speedway, Russell Branham, Mr. Grant Lynch, for letting us use this huge media center just right off the trioval that I'm looking at now. But thank y'all very much, and we're going to sign off from the media center here at Talladega Super Speedway.
All right, bud. Take it easy.
All right. See y'all.
Like a dog on Friday, punch that clock and cash that check, raise a little hell on Sunday. About that time, there's a party banging once tonight, hurry through the red.